Second hour of the program. Glad you're with us here on X's and Bros Monday through Friday from 6 until 9 across the great state of Michigan. Whether it be in Flint on WTRX Sports Extra 1330 AM, in Cadillac WKAD, the Ticket 93.7 FM. We're on in Grand Rapids 96.1 FM WMAX, the game. Grayling and Gaylord, WGRY 101.1 FM up North Sports Radio. We're on in Petoskey and Charlevoix on WMBN 104.7 FM. In Traverse City, WKAD 93.7 FM, the Ticket. And in Midland, Saginaw, Bay City, WLUN 100.9 FM, the Mitt. That is the network that homes X's and Bros Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Also houses the huge show in the afternoon from 3 until 6. Again, the Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. You can text Sports Radio to 21000. We are done with the soapbox. We are done with talking about the what should be at least a Tigers, but I would say a State of Michigan Hall of Fame. Tigers and Cardinals postponed because of rain yesterday, a double dip today. Florida blows out Tampa 6-1 last night on ice. Alexander Barkov, 2 goals, 2 assists. That's your captain stepping forward for the Panthers. 6 goals, most in franchise history in a closeout game. They get either Boston or Toronto. It should be Boston tonight because Toronto has had all kinds of issues. Have you seen the video of the Maple Leafs kind of chirping at one another, upset with one another, raising their voices with one another on the bench during the last playoff game, whether it be Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, whomever? Have you seen that? Well, a lot is being made of that. And a lot is being made of it because, look, Toronto is a hockey hotbed. They are so tired of waiting for another cup. They've had some really good teams, but they're getting bounced in the first round on a regular basis. 7 straight years, I believe, is what it is, where they've reached the postseason but can't get out of the first round. And they're not going to get out this year because they're playing Boston and they're down 3-1, and they don't look very good, and they look like they've almost succumbed to what Boston does so well. The forecheck, heavy on the puck, it's really impressive what the Bruins have done. But I saw the video, and I saw some comments, and I thought to myself, well, you know, let's be careful here. It's okay to be upset with a teammate. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay that you have emotions. Just like, it's always killed me. Fans and members of the media can really try to read into these things. And look, I guess that's what we're supposed to do. But then they're astonished at it. And my response is always, wait a minute, you're pissed off. Why can't they be pissed off? Athletes can have strong conversations with one another and get past it. It's not always, you know what? I don't want to be your teammate anymore. But the Maple Leafs are in a big hole. They've got problems. This is what happens when you get yourself into a bad situation. As Mitch Marner said, we're not yelling at each other because we hate each other. It's how much you love one another. You believe in one another. We're better than this. Let's go. It's a pretty interesting video out on social media. Anyway, they're going to play tonight. Florida awaits the winner. Dallas doubled up Vegas 4-2. Second straight win for the Stars. The road team has won every game in this series. I heard an announcer say the other night, series doesn't start until the road team wins. Well, it started right away in the Dallas-Vegas series, didn't it? In the NBA playoffs, Boston beat Miami 102-88. Who do you think the star was? Jaylen Brown? Nope. Kristaps Porzingis? Nope. Jason Tatum? Nope. It was Derek White. Derek White had 38 points and 3 blocks. Get this. He's the first Celtic player in history to have 35 points and 3 blocks in a playoff game. That blew my mind. It wasn't Bill Russell. It wasn't Robert Parrish. It wasn't Kevin McHale. It wasn't Larry Bird. It wasn't Tommy Heinsohn. It's Derek White. It wasn't John Havlicek. It wasn't JoJo White. All right, never mind. Tatum had 20 points and 11 boards. Third career, 20-10-5. 20 points, 10 boards, 5 assists. In a playoff game. The third Celtic to ever do that. Who are the other two? Bird and Russell. All right, Denver beat the Lakers 108-106. Jamal Murray, who's an underrated player. Nikola Jokic gets all the love, and rightfully so. He led all players in that series in points, rebounds, and assists, I believe. I think that's what I read. Anyway, Murray hit the go-ahead bucket with about 4 seconds left. Second time he's done it in the series. He finished with 32 points, his third career 30-point playoff game. The Nuggets eliminate L.A. in 5 games. Now the talk of what? LeBron James. He's got a player option next year, or after this year. Player option. Does he opt out? Is that his last game as a Laker? People asked him that, and he said, and wisely so, haven't thought about it. I don't believe that. Just like I don't believe Steven Stamkos, who's a free agent after this year, the 10-year captain for Tampa, wasn't on the ice thinking for just a glimpse of a moment that, yes, this could be my last game as a member of this franchise. When you're asked about it as frequently as they are, I don't know how you cannot think about that, even for a fleeting moment. But you're going to hear this through the entire offseason about LeBron James. I read something, it was probably more speculation than anything else, that the Lakers were willing to give him a 3-year extension. What is he, 38? He'd be 41. The guy's an absolute freak, so it wouldn't surprise me if he could continue to do what he's doing. I mean, who would have thought he would have had the great season that he had this year? Based on age, I mean, there is no age when it comes to him. He's been doing this for 21 years. He looks as good now as he did 10 years ago. It's amazing. But anyway, I read something where he was the possibility of extending him for 3 years and then drafting his son out of USC. And I thought, power, nepotism, all the things that he's complained about in the past, he now has, if that's what happens. His son's not an NBA player. I mean, LeBron James said he was. LeBron James said before the season began that my son could play in the NBA. He could be on this team right now. Did you watch your son at USC at all? Whew. No way. But that's what you're going to get all offseason long. OKC beats New Orleans to complete the sweep 97-89. First series win for the Thunder since, what, 2019, I believe. This is a team that is flying under the radar. Denver is over the radar because of what? Well, Jokic in the running for another MVP. He's already won it twice. They could repeat as champions. They seem like the best team in the West. Minnesota's been a great surprise. They swept Phoenix in the opening round, and Anthony Edwards is unbelievable. Karl Anthony Towns, when he's not turning it over, is really good and not fouling. And because of the storyline of LeBron James in L.A., all of those over OKC. And yet OKC is the one seed, and OKC is really fun to watch. Really good. Dave Burkett joins us 7:35. We'll talk Lions, NFL draft, football in general with one of the best in the business here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. Stay with us.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sports, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet, just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Back 18 after the hour on X's and Pros across the great state of Michigan. I'm Matt Shepard. Ben, our producer, Dave Burkett of the Free Press, will join us at the bottom of the hour. We will talk Lions draft and NFL in general. What else is going on in the NFL? Well, there's plenty for us to get into. Boy, it's amazing how quickly things change. I've just given you kind of the update with the Tigers being postponed and playing two today. Winners from last night in the NBA and the NHL, as in some really good hockey and NBA playoff games, continue with Denver advancing, OKC advancing, Boston a win away from advancing now, and Dallas tying up Las Vegas last night as well, and Florida moving on after blowing out Tampa. The Kraken have fired Dave Hextall. After three seasons, Seattle has decided to move on. You know what's interesting about that? This is how quickly things can change. He was a Jack Adams Award finalist for the league's top head coach last year. Not this season, last year. He was a finalist, one of three finalists to be named Coach of the Year, and he's gone. That's incredible. See how quick. This is why when they say coaches are hired to be fired, perfect example of it right there. We got a text, don't we, Ben?
Let's go. That's right.
Text line.
Yeah.
Sports radio to 21,000. Go ahead.
Says, good morning, Shep. If you had to pick one guy, who was the most important to their franchise from the time they were drafted to the day they retired, who would it be? Joe Dumars, Chris Osgood. Just some example.
Who would it be? Oh, he's not giving me a choice, or they're not giving me a choice. Whew. That's a great question, man. That is a great question. I may give you an answer that didn't lead to any championship. I may give you an answer that is because it gave a franchise with no definition, no face. Maybe Barry Sanders. Joe Dumars is a good one, but I think Isaiah Thomas really – I mean, the Pistons were horrid before Isaiah Thomas got there. Isaiah Thomas is the greatest player in Pistons franchise history. Joe Dumars was probably that final piece, or maybe not even the final piece, because Rodman and Sally came after, and they were important pieces. I don't think they win a championship without any of them, but it sure started with Isaiah Thomas. And that's easy to say because he's the captain and the best player franchises ever had. Steve Yzerman, obviously, for the Red Wings, but they needed more and more. With Barry Sanders, What were the Lions before Barry Sanders? Think about this for a second. Like, Billy Sims was awesome. Players would tell you if Billy Sims stayed healthy, he's a different runner than Barry, okay, obviously. But if Billy Sims had stayed healthy, Billy Sims is one of the greatest running backs of all time, period. Barry Sanders gave the Detroit Lions a face, an identity, recognition. Now, they didn't win anything with him. Well, they didn't. I shouldn't say that. They won a playoff game. I know. Whoop-de-doo. I hear what you're saying. But I would say as a drafted player, I mean, think about it. He's considered the greatest running back of all time. As much as I loved Isaiah Thomas as a Piston, is he ever considered the greatest point guard of all time? No, he's not. Is Steve Yzerman considered the greatest Red Wing of all time? It's hard to beat Gordie Howe. I've argued Nick Lidstrom. But Yzerman wasn't the best player in the league when he was playing. If you look at Barry Sanders, and again, this is just me, you know, using it as a to kind of support my case here. If you look at Barry Sanders, he was considered, while playing, the greatest player in the league. He was. He's the MVP in 97. Two-time Offensive Player of the Year. Not talking about Pro Bowls here, even though he went to 10. He was a six-time All-Pro. All-Pro. So the best at his position. I think I might side with that Barry Sanders. Yeah. Now I'd love to go back and give you a Tiger who was, I mean, you could say Al Kaline. I mean, he literally went from high school to the major leagues. Pretty damn good, right? You could do that. It's a long time ago. They did win a championship. What does the payoff have to be? Would be my question to you. This is why I enjoy the phone calls a lot. But I would say Barry Sanders comes immediately to mind. I do believe Al Kaline, who was drafted by the Tigers, as we all know, and was immediately, you know, brought up, and at age 18, you know, was simply incredible, and at age 20. He was the youngest batting champion ever when he batted 340 and considered one of the greatest right fielders of all time. He's a 16-time All-Star, won 10 gold gloves. I'm trying to think of the other outfielders who've won more gloves. Clemente, I believe, I'll have to go back and look at my notes. I believe Clemente is the only other player to win more gold gloves than Al Kaline. I'll look that up for you, but I'm pretty sure that is the case. Now, you could say, Ken Griffey Jr. had a lot too. But Al Kaline can make a case. Or you could make a case for Al Kaline. Now, granted, I'm kind of taking the easy way out here because I'm bringing up the greatest players in the franchise's history. Your question's a really, really, really good one. I love it. Thank you for it. And I mean that because it makes me think. But yeah, I would say those right there. Those would be it. Okay, I looked it up. Al Kaline, one of six outfielders to ever win 10 gold gloves. Clemente had 12. Mays had 12. And then it was Griffey, Suzuki, Andrew Jones, and Kaline with 10. There you go. That's how widely revered he was. I'll stick with Barry Sanders just because of the identity he gave the Detroit Lions. They weren't a lot of fun to watch. They weren't. And the Lions got fortunate that they got him. Aikman was taken ahead of him. Mandrich was taken ahead of him. That was the break. Of course, if they take Barry Sanders, Lions probably take Deion Sanders, who at the time said, I'm not going to play there. But you get it. It was a hell of a draft. It really was. Speaking of the draft, how good was the Lions draft? Dave Burkett will weigh in. He will join us on the other side. Does a great job with the Detroit Free Press. He's one of the most respected writers, football writers in America. And he will join us on the other side on X's and Bros. Stay with us. 7:35, Dave Burkett, right here across the great state of Michigan on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge cheer for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
If you want to know how the Lions are doing, if you want to find out where they stand on any issue, all you got to do, it's really simple. Go to freep.com, click on sports, click on Lions, and find anything written by Dave Burkett. He's a 4-time Michigan Sports Writer of the Year for a reason. He's one of the best in all of the country when it comes to football writing. You can follow him on X at Dave Burkett. He of the Free Press joins us after a very, very busy weekend here on X's and Bros. Dave, my friend, great to have you, man. Appreciate your time very much. Yeah, I know it's valuable. First of all, your impressions overall of how Detroit handled the draft on a record-breaking weekend.
Oh, it was great to see the crowds. And yeah, I should say, first of all, great to be here, man. Glad to be talking to you again. It was, I was down there Thursday. I spent all day Thursday following Darius Robinson around in Missouri, one of the players in town for the draft. Mm-hmm. And you could feel the buzz. I mean, I got down there about 7:30 in the morning, and you could feel the buzz from the minute I got down there. And look, I when he boarded a bus to go to the green room, and I was talking to some of his coaches, and at some point, I walked over to the media side of the venue, and he kind of had to walk around the entire perimeter, and somebody said, oh, you got a patch, you can cut through here. And so I walked in where all the people were, and I was like, wow, I am not getting through here. There are so many people. So it was, and this was, 2 hours before the draft. So it was lively. It was great to see it for the city of Detroit.
Yeah, it's so well chronicled by you and your friends there at the Free Press. Really enjoyed all of it. What did you like most about Detroit's draft?
Well, my favorite pick, I guess, was the first one. And, maybe that's a cop-out or easy to say when it's the best player, that they took. But, they needed a cornerback still. They got a player that I think just about everyone thought was one of the top 2 cornerbacks in the draft. I know they gave up a 3rd-round pick to get that. But, look, I think the Lions have a window of opportunity right now to win, to really contend for a Super Bowl. And, you add a player like Terrion Arnold. I think it's what you need. And I like the aggressive nature of Brad Holmes. You can quibble with maybe, the guys that he traded up for on day 3 and, how much will they contribute? Was that worth the value? We'll see. Maybe he'll be proven right on all that. But regardless, I like when a general manager is aggressive going after the targets that he thinks, trusting himself in a way to go get the players that he thinks his team needs to win.
Yeah, I've said this for a long time. Picks are just picks. You want players. He got the players that he wanted. I give him a ton of credit. Anis Rakestraw was the second-round pick. Some of my friends called me yesterday. They complained a little bit about it in double-dipping on that position, and I had to remind them that I believe the Lions only have one cornerback after this year under contract. How important was it to address, not just because the guy's a really good player and they had him highly rated, but also because of the future situation where GMs have to keep an eye, not just on 1 year, but moving forward?
Yeah, and that's been a position that they've struggled to do that for a long time. And you're right, Carlton Davis is, you know, he's in the last year of his contract, remains to be seen, I guess, if they bring him back. Yeah, I was surprised, frankly, when they, you know, when they took him. I guess I wasn't really even, you know, tracking that he was still on the board just because he was a cornerback. But Shep, he fit. You know, I mean, like he was the very first guy that I gave to the Lions in my first mock draft of the year because
I
thought he was such a great fit. And then, you know, you talk to some people around the league and, okay, maybe he's got a couple injury concerns. You know, he had a little bit of an injury history there at Missouri. He didn't have great ball production. So, yeah, okay, he's going to be available in round two. I following Darius Robinson from Missouri around, I talked to his coach, Missouri head coach, that morning of the draft. And, you know, we were talking about Rakestraw. And I think he could be in the mix for the Lions. And he said, you think so? I was like, well, maybe in round two. He's like, yeah, I think round two for the Lions. And sure enough, you know, he was there and they got him. So, look, he's a fit. You know, you can quibble. Maybe they come out of this draft still needing a wide receiver, but there's no doubt that I don't doubt for a minute that they got the best player on their board in the second round. And I think that's the most important thing to do in the draft.
Yeah, I think you can get wide receivers, quite honestly. Dave Burkett, four-time Michigan Sports Writer of the Year. You can follow him on X at Dave Burkett. What's the biggest surprise, perhaps the biggest takeaway you had from the draft in general, even if it doesn't maybe not include the Lions?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Michael Penix by Atlanta, I think, was a shocker to everyone, you know, and there were so many offensive players. That's certainly the way the league's gone. But all those quarterbacks, you know, Shep, you think about it, right? You go back to 2021 and the first draft that Brad Holmes had, and, you know, this regime, you know, those three quarterbacks that go high in front of the Lions, well, that's what allowed Penei Sewell to fall to them at number seven. And here, five, six quarterbacks going in the first round, all those guys, that's what allowed Terrion Arnold to fall to the Lions. And, you know, even that second draft, right, Jacksonville sort of going, you know, with the head scratcher and going, you know, Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson, when most people thought Hutchinson was the best player in the draft. You need a little bit of luck to build a championship team, and you need to be able to take advantage of it. And the Lions have been right place, right time, and Brad's done a really good job of making those right picks. And that hasn't been the case with this organization for a long, long time. And, you know, so I've told people this before, and it just feels like things are starting to turn in that regard, that they've caught some breaks and they're in a position finally to take advantage of them. And I think maybe this year was one of those times.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when people bring up Penix, and I agree 100% with you. Mine was Ricky Pearsall. He was drafted, even though he was at the end of the first round, 31st overall, I believe, by San Francisco. I was surprised that he was drafted ahead of some of the wide receivers, but you know, Penix makes a ton of sense. You bring up Brad Holmes. You know him well. When did the trust, and that can be a very dangerous word. I mean, you're a father. Sometimes, you know, you got to trust your kids. That can be a challenging thing as they get older. You got to give them that trust, but they can be easily broken. When did the trust of Brad Holmes truly take root for Lions fans, do you believe?
Ooh, that's a good one, because it really is like an in Brad we trust whenever he makes a draft pick. Hey, maybe I don't agree with it. Maybe I don't know anything about this guy, but Brad's got the track record. In him we trust. You know, look, it probably wasn't year one because the record was so bad, right? 3-13-1, and people were still kind of scratching their heads. And I don't even know if it was year two because, you know, the Jameson pick, like, didn't – not a lot materialized. But maybe at the end of that year two, when you saw all those young guys, you know, Kirby Joseph, a third-round pick, having a really good season, you know, at the end of the year that year, and then certainly last year when – you know, the positional villains, as they like to call themselves, made those early picks at positions that most people wouldn't have pegged them to take early on, and all of a sudden you have one of the best draft classes in the NFL. I think it's more a, you know, a culmination of everything maybe than one moment, but you look back, I mean, he said this is his fourth draft. The first three have been pretty doggone good. And, you know, that's how you build consistent winners in the NFL. So, you know, the Lions have ultimately the general manager that they picked, really, really good eye for college talent. And that's what you need to be to be a successful GM in the NFL.
I think people forget when you cover a team like you do, there, first of all, there is no off day for Dave Burkett. I mean, people think, well, the football season's not going. No, Dave is constantly working, following free agents, following trades, following rumors, following things of that nature. The other thing is, you get to know people pretty well. It can be challenging to separate yourself from liking a person, but having to write what you feel you have to write. Brad Holmes, because you and I both like Martin Mayhew. We like Matt Millen. Told great stories, just was a crappy GM. What do you like most about Brad Holmes and what he has in connection with his front office?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they talk about the synergy that they have a lot, and a lot of times that's lip service. You know, I do believe that that's real here, just the way that they, you know, have come together on players. And, Shep, you know, when it was something that Brad said Friday that really hit me, you know, because everyone is always trying to, in the NFL, really everywhere, you know, they're trying to identify the intangibles, right? That there's everyone has talent that's making it to the league, but why do some guys succeed and some guys don't? Well, maybe it's a work ethic. Maybe, you know, it's how they you know, the issues that they have going on the field, how they navigate those, right? Everyone has a personal life. I think the one thing that Brad said Friday, he was talking about Rakestraw and that pick and just, you know, how much his story of like getting turned away from a prospect camp in high school because, you know, people, the coaches thought he wasn't big enough, how that really resonated with him. And he said, you know, that's the thing that we really try to drill down on is like, what is the adversity that you've encountered in your life and how have you overcame that? And, you know, how does that motivate you to this day? And you look at a lot of the guys that the Lions have picked. I mean, they're talented, yes, but that chip on their shoulder is the thing that still drives them and still motivates them. And when you pay a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's not going to lose that. He's still the 17th wide receiver drafted in his mind, you know, and Penei Sewell is still that guy in the South Pacific that, you know, was, you know, coming from nothing, trying to, you know, look for a better life for him and his family. And so I think that's the thing to me that they've hit on that maybe some other teams have missed is they've just really zeroed in on finding guys that are internally motivated and that don't seem to be losing that no matter, you know, what is thrown in front of them in the NFL.
We will talk about Arnold and Rakestraw for a long time, but of the four remaining picks, Manu, is it Vakey or Vakey, Wingo, yeah, and Mahogany? Of those four picks, who's most intriguing to you and why?
Well, it's got to be Manu. I mean, just because, you know, the upside there and the, you know, the rawness that he has. I mean, you know, the guy didn't start playing football till he came to, you know, the States and, or not the States, Canada, but, you know, till really he came over here and you know, I'm supposed to talk with one of his coaches a little bit later on today, just kind of get a little bit better feel from him. He, you know, that level of ball that he played at the University of British Columbia, obviously is not very good. It's very low level college, you know, what would be in comparison here to the United States, but he's such a monster of a man and he has all these traits. And I think the Lions have a really good developmental staff and probably a good developmental plan for that guy. So I don't know what he's going to be, you know, and when they made the pick and you give up a third rounder, you know, next year that's a big price to pay, but that just tells me how much they think of his developmental upside and the importance of that position. They have Sewell locked down. Decker he's entering the last year of his deal. He even said a couple weeks ago that he'd be open to signing a short-term deal. Maybe that's what happens as they're grooming this guy to take over at one of those tackle spots.
That's interesting. Could you see Decker moving inside?
No, I think he's a left tackle and probably always will be, but, you know, he's 30 years old, and I think maybe he turns 31 this year, if I remember the ages right. You know, he's not going to play forever, and he's a really good player, and I would certainly keep him around if I were the Lions. But at some point, you know, you talked about the cornerback situation earlier and who's under contract and who's not. That's really what it was on the offensive line. You know, they've got a really strong five, but Zeitler is on a one-year deal, and he's 34, and Glasgow's 32, and Ragnow's got these injury problems, and Decker's in the last year of his deal. So you just start projecting ahead a little bit, and the offensive line has been so, so important to everything the Lions have done the last couple years. You need to keep that strong, and chances are you're not getting a Sewell again at the top of the draft because you're not going to be picking there. But Maybe you can get a guy and develop him like Amanu, similar to what the Eagles have done with some of their offensive linemen.
Yeah, I just love Brad Holmes' philosophy of building from the inside out. I think it's just the right way you build a football team. What happens with Jared Goff, do you think?
He'll get his deal. I don't really have any doubt about that. I mean, okay. Had you asked me the order these were going to go in, I would have thought St. Brown first, Goff second, Sewell third, but obviously they got the Sewell one done. That's an important one, even though he had more years on his contract. I think Goff's going to get done. I think it's probably going to be around $50 million a year. That's just the going rate for a successful quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's still a young enough guy, too, that, you know, he'll be playing out the entirety of his next contract. Look, maybe there still are some limitations with him just because of the lack of mobility compared to some of his peers, but there's no denying that, you know, he's played really good football here the last season and a half, and he gives the Lions the best chance to win, and there's no reason for them to rock that boat when they are Super Bowl contenders and they should be in this window for a couple of years.
Look, I really respect your opinion. I really want your perspective on this because I get this quite a bit from people. Why not take a hometown discount if you're Jared Goff, much like Tom Brady did in the past, so you can make sure you have the weapons and the type of talent around you? My response oftentimes is, would you do that in your job, knowing the window? And then the response back is always, well, how much is enough? I don't know. It's not my career. It's not for me to decide that. What would you say to that? How do you respond to something like that?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one because, look, I'm always get what you can while you can. You know, at some point, right, Jared Goff's going to be persona non grata in Detroit. Like, you know, maybe it's 10 years from now, or maybe he gets hurt or whatever it is. Like, at some point, the Lions will look to move on from him. And, for his sake and the organization's sake, hopefully that's like a couple Super Bowls down the road or whatever, and he goes out on top. But I think, you know, I'm all for players getting what they can while they can. And, you know, he will say, and, you know, as he said, right, it's not really in my control. And we all know it is to a certain extent. But I think that's the way that players sometimes detach themselves, right? The agents know what they're making, know what the market value is. Maybe he doesn't have, you know, Kristen Harper, his fiance. Maybe she's not making Giselle Bundchen money, but I'm sure, you know, as a couple, they will be a power couple for a long, long time. So maybe it's not quite Tom Brady, you know, what he had coming in on the side and with the endorsements and everything. I certainly get that point that, you know, he would be okay taking a hometown discount, but ultimately, like you said, it's up to each player. And if I was the player, I just would look to maximize my value.
Same. Hey, very valuable.
I was just going to say, hey, you know, that cap continues to go up. So whatever he gets paid now, it's not going to matter much in a couple of years. He's going to be underpaid, and, you know, the Lions should have enough to go out and get some other guys, take care of some other guys.
Yeah, and we can all say we're underpaid. That's for sure. I know you are. That I guarantee you that. Great stuff as always, Dave. Hey, before I let you go, real quick, why should they be considered the favorite in the NFC going into the season, do you think?
Yeah, and look, I think they are. I mean, I told my son, I was driving him to school Friday morning, I was like, man, like, you know, maybe this is like the draft euphoria, but I'm probably going to pick the Lions and make the Super Bowl. You know, like, they have a really, really good roster. I think they have the best roster in the NFC. You know, San Francisco may have more top-line stars. You know, the Eagles still will have a really good roster. I mean, Dallas's defense won't be any joke. You know, the NFC North is going to be tough. And, you know, that may be one thing why, or one reason why the Lions don't get that number one seed, or something that, you know, if you're looking for reasons to hold them back, is because I do think the division will be really good this year and really competitive. And maybe that's, you know, an extra loss or two that keeps them from playing keeps them from being the one seed. But I think the Lions have a really good roster. I think they have a really good coaching staff. I think they have the resources to go out and address any needs that may pop up still. So I just like the lot that they have right now as, you know, we head into OTAs and, you know, a couple months before the season.
You know, it's better for you, man. I mean, you're going on talk shows throughout the entire state and throughout the entire country talking about a really good football team when for years you had to go on and explain why they would fall short again. I mean this when I say this. A lot of my friends who are in this business covering bad teams now get a chance to cover a good team. I'm as happy for them as I am for the fans. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Love to the kids and the family. Keep up the great work as always. We appreciate the time and the friendship.
Yeah, appreciate it, Seth. We'll talk to you again.
All right, you got it. That's Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. Follow him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. Great stuff. If you missed any of it, we'll probably play that back tomorrow morning right around 6:35. More on the other side in the final hour of X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
April showers brought May flowers and so much more to Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Winnings are in bloom every Friday in May. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., two lucky guests will have the chance to pick a flower from the bouquet of premium play. Your next win is only a petal away. You could win up to $2,000 in premium play. Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.